second for that?
Second.
All those in favor of approving the 7:24 minutes?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? They are approved. Accounts payable, warrants for approval. We have 19013 for $13,376.07. And then we have check warrant 19012 for $5,502.14.
Payroll.
Anybody want to look at those before they vote on that? I think Ellen sent them to us prior. So I so move that we pay these warrants. There needs to be a second.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Then we'll pay those. Hand that one back to me, Steve, and I'll sign that one. Okay, we are now at road foreman's report.
So, Ben Williams has been still grading, chloriding, ditching. Practice of it all, hauling right back. They've been all the guys have been hauling right back out of town. Justin Adams and Eric both moving in. They've been filling in the raking and stuff.
Oh, no, we'd like you to speak louder.
You got old folks back here who makes we can't hear you.
Okay.
Sorry, Jimmy. I know you can talk louder than that.
I can't
talk that. Right? Thank you, dear.
So anyway, and then that's kind of what the road work has been at. I'm trying to figure out on how, I'm figuring out where I'm going to prioritize these rest of these projects that I do have to get buttoned up. I get the ball foot room down there, Joanne's called, it's in 2 moments, I'm going to change out. Got this one down here on the end of the Galaxy Hill. Going to have to do some on how to help them pay it next year. Address that down by the notices before that comes around, when the winter comes. And then I got to get the rest of these April 15th storage wrapped up. So my plan is hopefully Tuesday to go down here on the Palmer Road and do them 2 culverts down there on Tuesday to get that one wrapped up.
Get Becky to put something out on the list so that, and so that, and maybe wait till 8 o'clock or something so most everybody's gone by. Well,
and I have reached out to a couple of flagging companies, no one's really gotten back to me yet, but I was looking to get some flaggers down there to be able to do that. I mean, one of them, I know she just kind of touched on it there from Mary, and she said that would be probably somewhere for 2 flaggers and the signs and everything at roughly $850. But she would send me a thing at $1,200, and I'm waiting to hear back from other people. But as it stands, I haven't got that yet. And then the garage down there, there was a question about the GFI down there, so Alex Eastman came in and changed in the control panel itself, I should say, break the box and put a GFI in there so we don't have to climb up there and make one of them trips or anything. And then he looked at the 220 that got hooked up down there and said, we're all good codes and standard, but he said that it probably wouldn't hurt inside the box. Sees how the water's right next to it, whatnot, where it's plugged in, if there was another GFI right in the box for that 220. And he did end up giving me a price on doing that. Sue.
$180 to put in a GFI breaker on that. So, do we have consensus on the board that that should be done?
Yep.
Go for it.
And then the,
We wanted to get 5 years for down there, don't we? That's not a very good place.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
There's not much visibility and things, people cruise right down there. Go ahead and get yourselves, it's $859. Anybody want to look at it?
No, I got estimates last year for that. It's in that range, so.
Okay, go for that.
And then, the Rug Road project, I put a bunch of the numbers together and stuff. That's what I did with them. And I've been on the phone with Rita, and Rita's taking pictures of it and sent them off. And said it looked very good, other than there was two steep banks where we had ditched it. And we'd seeded it and mulched it, but nothing grew, and it didn't. And so she said that might look better if we went back up and rolled some mat down. So there was some mat down there, and that straw mat, and we went up and rolled that out. And I sent her pictures of it, and she was really okay with it. So the only thing left that we have down there is to do some hammering on that rock that's in the ditch down there so we can get it further down. So I just called, and knowing that we've got some ledge at the top of Kenny Hill that's sticking up and out of the way, so I called Knott's Excavating and Dickie Schultz. And these were the two estimates that they gave me to be able to go and do that project.
Do you have any feeling, Schultz is cheap, but do you have any feeling as to whether he'll do it perfectly? He's got a big enough machine, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's used to do it for me.
It was $3,250 from Schultz, $3,500 from Knott.
Bypass the system so we can still grade. and this is the price that they sent me back for. That was the $427.26.
So you can just get that one bolt?
Yep. Yep, and do the inside of this, and then the cap.
Yeah, and this is also for the grader as well, right?
Yeah.
So $1,145.51 for hydraulic filter, air filter, a supply hose, some O-rings. This is really just maintenance.
Well, yeah, we'll see what happened was tonight. But my bad, I left it down the garage at the last meeting. And it was supposed to have included it with the loader one, so it was laying on my desk, so I didn't have it with me that night.
Okay. And then this other one is to get the hydraulic fix is $427.26. Do I have a motion on those? Do you want to look at them?
I move that we go ahead and get it done.
Second?
And then the only other thing, the last thing that I really got is, well, two things is, when can I start having some hard time trucked in? Is that good for me to go and do that now?
Yeah, one new year.
Yeah.
And then the Galaxy Hill folder down there. I think after the census of meeting with Chris Mullins down near there the last time, that he seemed to really lean towards the squash pipe, the 24 by 35. Which I think won't work because, like he said, we've got the stone wall and this and that, so we don't have to go, you know, dig his fire down. And so I called and I got a price on it. And they gave me a price for the squash pipe, 120 feet of it, it's 12 gauge steel, $65 a foot. And it has to have five bands for $8,450. But it's 2 to 3 weeks out.
It's a question of doing that or putting the 30-inch in that you've got.
Chris was really good with us about the 30-inch. You know, we can do it probably, but you're gonna be digging a lot further down. And he seemed to think that the squash pipe would be the best way. I mean, he come out and he just kind of made a comment down there that if it was the state, they would reconsider and really look at it on putting in another 24 inch. And I says, well, but if Storm Irene, it was not Storm Irene, but another catastrophic, you know, and it messes it up, then what do you do? So I think the best alternative is the squash pipe.
So you're saying he said it would be put a 24 in?
He said his comment.
He didn't. Yeah. He didn't. He said if it was the state, they would, with all factors that were there, they would probably just go put back what's there. But he also did state the fact of the 30-inch and then going with the squash would also be a compromise. So
basically, if you put a 24 in and it blows up, then it's all on us.
That's right.
Right.
And we might as well, if we're going to do it, we might as well do it by standards if we can. If that squash pipe would fit in on the standard.
Do you have any idea how much that plastic would cost that you bought?
Well, it's between $3,000 and $4,000, I think. I remember it's like $600 a section, and there's six sections.
But it's not like it's going to go.
They'll get used somewhere.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
No, I was just curious. I'm just curious.
So it's more than twice.
It's got to be fixed, one way or another.
Absolutely. So.
And that's the thing that is it's 2 to 3 weeks out. And not only 2 to 3 weeks out, but the guy, wants to be able to pay you on top of it. I'd like to have it set something for a little bit.
We could always get him back into pay if we had to.
Pay the apron. You get a little guy to come in and pay the apron for us.
True.
Sometimes time just doesn't work out.
I need a motion to
Well, I mean, maybe just to get a single miner, we might be able to dispatch it.
What?
We might be able to dispatch it into the hob office to get a single miner if they're going to come into pay next year, maybe.
Well, you're going to have to, you're not going to mangle that. You're going to cut that down, that pavement,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah, I have to.
Maybe we could dispatch.
You want to hold the truck and go over it?
Yeah, could, but I mean, the hob box is 4 tons. You put 4 tons in there. So. I mean, you could at least let it be compacted right before winter. You know, a nice good day there in the fall, lay the asphalt. Fill that trench in, and you know, it out, compact it down, and let that be good. Yeah.
It's been pretty bad for 2 winters. I'm not sure it could be any worse than what it is now. We need a board decision as to whether we go with the squash culvert or the 30-inch.
I would go with the squash culvert.
Would you like to make that motion?
I'll make that motion.
Would anyone like to second that motion?
I'll second that.
Would anyone like to vote on that motion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. You have a squash culvert. We didn't ever finish on this stuff from this maintenance from Nortrax and the hydraulic thing. That's going to be $1,600. Are we approving that as well?
I think so. I'm actually wondering.
Would you like to look at that?
No, I mean, I understand what's going on with that. I'm wondering how often. We don't always vote on maintenance stuff and repairs and stuff. Sometimes it's just. We know it's got to get done.
Well, this is fine with me as well. You take those bets. You want this from Schultz as well? No.
No.
You've got a copy.
And on that, I mean, we may need to bring it up later and make some changes to the policy or whatever, but that kind of stuff is a no-brainer stuff. And if something's got to get fixed, it's got to get fixed. And the way, in this case, Jimmy was able to bail that out so he could keep going, but I think there ought to be some leniency there on
as far as I'm concerned, it needs to be repaired. A $10,000 front end is a little bit different now.
Right. I agree with that.
But this stuff needs to be repaired. As far as I'm concerned, it should just get repaired.
And like this, I mean, the John Deere stuff, I mean, whatever, but trucks and stuff sometimes can be a little bit different, I guess. But John Deere, I mean, where are we going to go and get the parts? I mean, it's not like I can call around and get bolts on this and that or anything. Pretty
much going to come out of
that
John Deere.
Kind of
at their mercy,
really.
So I don't know when we want to start giving it to him now. That stuff was, he's just lucky that he was able to do it himself. Otherwise, it would have been 2 weeks. That
well, it's well, he also could have come and said something to me. And this just happened, I take it. Anyway, I think there's consensus on the board if something needs to be repaired. Unless it's a $10,000 front end, just fix it.
Well, I'll still bring it by.
Well, that's all right. Yeah, and don't wait. Anything else? Truck RFP, we have to approve that so that can get sent out.
Move that we approve the truck RFP and get it out going.
Is that last meeting?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So
on that, we did do that at the last meeting. I sent it out and I met with talked to a couple different truck guys, met with one of them. And in doing that, there was a lot of little things that weren't in the RFP due to it being, you know, all the newer equipment and new options and all that stuff that we weren't aware of. That if the board gives me approval, I will make those changes and then resend it out so that everybody's bidding on
the same thing.
And it's nothing that's going to astronomically, it's no big thing. It's all little stuff that adds up. So if one manufacturer bid on it and the other one didn't, it's going to change the price.
Okay.
and the equipment that's actually needed.
What are some of the examples?
Some of the simple ones like telescoping and adjustable steering wheel. In the sander controls, there can be electric, there can be air, there can be cable, all little stuff like that. That after talking to the guys and the dealers, they're like, okay, now we were actually able to kind of pinpoint what the way to go is, what equipment to use. And unless I call every single one of them back and tell them, okay, make this change, it's just better than.
I think it would be better if you could do it.
Ones are all bidding on the same thing.
Well, that's my view. Yeah.
Do we need to vote on that?
Only one thing. It'd probably be good to circle back and just list out what those changes are.
Okay.
And just so we all know what those changes are.
Well, if you're going to send a list to
you're
the vendors,
you're going to send a revised RFP, right? Your amended RFP.
Yeah. So just send it to us.
Send
it.
Okay.
If they want to, then probably push the date back. The date for the RFP, probably a couple weeks or.
We could. I mean, the ones that I spoke with today and made the suggestion after, you know, all this stuff come to light, I pointed it out to them that maybe we should just redo the RFP so that everybody was on the same bidding process. And they felt that 2 weeks would still give them enough time. It's not major stuff, but
you can just put it out as an addendum. You don't have to redo the RFC.
Good.
Okay, I guess we're done with that.
Yes.
The sand bid opening, we have no sand bid. I do know that at least Pike got it, and I assume the others got it. I'll call D&D and see if I can get hold of them. And Pike may have decided to, he asked about aggregate RFD, and I told him that would be coming soon. And he may have decided to just wait and include his sand bid then on the manufactured sand. But we don't have any, so I guess we don't open any. Town garage maintenance and additions to security. Jimmy got this quote from Royal Security to add, and Cindy gave you each a copy of it. Three wireless smoke detectors, a low temperature sensor, and a transmitter to make the low temperature sensor wireless, and that's going to cost us $957.54. There are passive grant funds available for that kind of thing. Wade Mazur suggested that we apply for that. And that was the same grant that you got for the security system, wasn't it? And so that was one of the things that he suggested in his report that we should do. And so my feeling would be if we're going to do this, we should just add to the security system we have and not get in another vendor. That's kind of foolish in my mind. So. $957.54, which probably we can get reimbursed on a grant for. So I guess I would move that we do that and also that we apply for the grant and hopefully get reimbursed for part of that.
My question is Tasco has our entrance alarm and stuff, right?
I don't know. That was, you did that. I have no idea.
I think that's through the Royal Group, isn't it?
I thought Royal Group did all the work and Tasco monitors it.
Oh, Royal Group is just the installer.
I don't recall that we got Tasco down there or that we had them do any work on there, did we?
Well, it's their system, that's all. I'm not sure. Tasco monitors it, right? I'm just wondering whether there's additional, whether Royal will take care of linking up with Tasco so that they know. You got somebody to put stuff in, but you know, the monitor outfit doesn't know. I just got to make sure we close the loop or something. That's just a question we can ask Royal.
I think Royal might be doing the monitoring because we pay quarterly bills to them. And since the installation is over, any ongoing bills would be
just monitoring.
And monitoring, I would assume.
Are we paying anything to Tasco?
We pay Tasco for the fire departments. We pay Countryside Lock and Alarm for this building.
We can inquire as to whether monitoring is included.
We'll have to get the grant before we put it in anyway. Typically, they don't give us typically grants. You have to get the grant first before you can spend the money. So, probably we should just, I don't know how big a deal it is to ask for the.
It's only a one-page application, and Wake Up is a pretty good chance that we get that.
Well, it's his recommendation, right?
It was his recommendation that that happened. Yes.
I'm going to make a motion to apply for the grant.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? I'll work on applying for the grant, and I will also get clarity as to whether they're going to monitor it. Her number's there, I can call. There's nothing left under that, and we were going to have Nick Clark speak. Was there anything else in maintenance that you needed? I have not got back from the roofer yet. John Times is going to replace the soffit, and the roofer did email me today and said that he hoped he would get down there tomorrow to look at it. So hopefully we'll get there. I'm sorry. Nick?
Yep. Hi. I am Nick. I'm a Thetford resident and a member of the Thetford Select Board, but I'm here in a personal capacity. I'm sure you know how that is. Sorry for the last-minute nature when I reached out to Scott. I didn't know you had a meeting the next day. So the proposal you have is something that I have been working on with a couple other Select Board members from other towns. The premise is that the state has set energy goals and hasn't really done anything to meet them and has instead put that responsibility on towns. So the idea is to hire a shared energy coordinator to help meet those goals and to do it through Two Rivers. At this stage, the question, we don't know what towns are interested, so we don't have exact numbers per town, but the question is, would Pontford be interested in exploring the idea at the least and see where it goes? That's the very short version.
Do you want to say a little bit more about the job description and, you know, kind of what the role would be, a little bit more?
Sure. So the job description I have in there is copied almost verbatim from Hartford's job description for their energy coordinator. And it includes a wide range of things from applying for grants to tracking energy savings to working with schools. The primary function is to save money, track what you're saving, and to get money through grants to help you save more money. The proposal right now is for a 2 or 3 year trial period with this regional arrangement to see how it works for towns, what the savings are, what grant money they brought in, and if it works out to try and lobby the legislator for more sustainable funding so it's not completely on the backs of towns. Also, talking to various nonprofits and private foundations such as Efficiency Vermont to try and supplement some of the cost for the trial period so that the cost estimate from Two Rivers would come down. The general job description is to assist the town if you have non-municipal organizations such as libraries or fire departments. Our library and fire department is separate from the town, public schools, and then businesses, residents with weatherization, solar, getting LEDs from Efficiency Vermont, whatever it is, trying to get energy savings, trying to bring in grant money to get energy savings, but sharing it between a host of towns so that no one town is trying to figure out how to do this all on their own. I think the thing about Hartford is that they're a sizable town. They have a very large budget, and it's easy for them to pick up a staff position. Small towns are at capacity generally with the stuff they're trying to do, whether it's fixing culverts, and we can't pick up a staff position easily. And in my mind, the most logical way to do it is if towns come together and share the burden. So it would be a prototype service contract through the Regional Planning Commission. They are supportive. It's in statute that this is something they can do. They've done it with other ideas other than energy. So the big question is what towns are interested, and then going from there with the number of towns that are interested in trying to figure out the end cost all before budget season.
So something the cost would be shared on a per capita basis?
So it's up for negotiation. Right now in the proposal I have it for population, so a smaller town is paying less than something like Norwich or Woodstock. And then obviously even less if Efficiency Vermont is kicking in something. So the smaller the town, the less you're paying relative to other towns. But it's a proposal, and if there's a better idea out there and other select boards are fine with it, then.
Well, I think we've got to. I don't know, I haven't seen the proposal, so.
I set one a copy of your desk. So it sounds like there's still work to do, though. And so maybe this is sort of a first step. Maybe come back when this solidifies more.
Right, so there's work to do. Obviously, the big question is always the dollar signs. You can't figure out the dollar signs until we know what towns are interested in participating. So at this stage, it's trying to get a list of towns together that would be interested in exploring and refining the proposal. So one or two select board members from interested towns so far have been sharing emails or meeting to try and refine the proposal. That's the third draft you have now. But there's no official proposal yet. It's really just if you're interested and someone on the select board or more than two of you, not a quorum, want to continue refining the proposal and seeing where it goes, and that's the stage where it is.
Are you going to be the point of contact, or is DD going to be the DJ's going to be the person?
So I'm the one that initiated this,
yeah.
In Thetford and Norwich, so I've been taking the lead on it. D has been the point of contact for Two Rivers, but it's their attitude is, we'd love to do this. If towns are interested, then we'll help you do this. But they're not taking the lead on it at this point. Mm-hmm. They are adding language to the draft regional plan they're working on to encompass this concept. So they've been cooperative and supportive, but the way service contracts work in statute is that they're agreements between towns. Mm-hmm. So it's generally initiated on some level by towns seeking a combined service.
Right.
So you don't envision that then the Two Rivers would just create this position and it would go for the entire Two Rivers community?
No, so the way this would work is that it would be 6 to 8 towns within the Two Rivers region that would sign a service contract with Two Rivers to have Two Rivers administer a staff position. So the employee would be with Two Rivers. Each town would be paying a service fee to Two Rivers to get the benefits of the services of that employee, which would include having that staff person apply for grants on behalf of your town or help you with weatherization or whatever it is. But it'd be a Two Rivers employee. The the oversight of that staff position is completely flexible. It's up to the bylaws that are drafted at the time that the service agreement is signed. So if the town say we want to appoint someone to a board to oversee the staff position instead of having Two Rivers oversee it, then that's the service agreement. It's so in terms of accountability or oversight, the Two Rivers employee, but the towns can sort of dictate the terms of the arrangement.
I mean, I would certainly like to see it explored further on as a town level, so I mean, I'm certainly not interested in that.
You want to keep us posted on how it develops? I mean, are there, do you have firm commitments from other towns yet?
So, we don't have firm numbers to offer commitments. Bedford Select Board has had this on the agenda and is interested and would like to see additional drafts and see who else is interested. Norwich Select Board, I'm talking to Woodstock and Sharon. I'm on the Sharon Stratford agendas in the coming week. So it's very much a putting feelers out stage.
Sure.
What would be ideal right now is if you want to continue talking to me or if someone else on the Select Board wants to liaise with the process unofficially or officially, just so that I can keep feeding information as we get updates or numbers or.
So I'll move that we appoint John Peters to be our liaison to stay up to date with Nick on this project and see what it looks.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Ayes have it.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming. The next thing on the agenda was we needed a motion to accept that grant. I'm sorry, that came above from.
So I move that we accept and authorize the chair to sign agreement BR0706 for the state of Vermont for the Caper Street culverts.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Those opposed? Aye, have it. This Alan May that I spoke to on this yesterday said that once we get this signed, it'll take a while for the state to sign it, but we can start on the project as long as we call in advance, and he's good to go on that because he knows it's getting late in the season. You all got in your packet an aggregate RFP, and do you have any problems with that? Do you want me to change it?
Are we skipping the fuel RFP?
I already said the fuel RFP.
No, are we need it?
No. There is not going to be a fuel RFP.
Okay.
They don't ever reply to one. Okay. I made some calls today, and I'm waiting for some calls to come back to get to the right people that will give us a price. And so as soon as I get, hopefully I'll get those prices before the next meeting, and then we can make a decision as to where we want to go. And you'll notice in Wade Mazur's letter that all of these town buildings have, the furnaces have not been checked for maintenance, but I thought once we got, usually the fuel people do the maintenance, so once we decide where the fuel is coming, then we'll get that item off of Wade's list as well that hasn't been happening or didn't happen last year. So that will be sitting there for next week. Now we have the John Collier driveway, and John, I guess this is in your, I'm unfamiliar with this, and I meant to get down there, and I did not. So there's no permit that's come through. Is it a new cut in the road?
Yes.
Did they just make one wider, or is it actually a second driveway?
The second access point off the road, and there's a culvert in between the two, so.
So we've got another cut. So we need to write a letter to Collier. Does Collier own it?
Yes.
So we need to write a letter and say that a permit is needed.
Right. Did anybody else get up there?
I didn't. Where is it?
Barber Hill Road, Maxim Sugar House.
It's like an intersection there where it came down out of the bank right there. That what you're talking? So the Sugar House Road comes down, and then he had, when I was up there grading, right behind the split rail fence, he had some matting laid there, and some stone push
right. Right, so that, comes, right that driveway now comes out to the road where the mat was.
I thought the way it was lapped was like, no, somebody told me he couldn't do it or something, because it was, when I would have thought it was on the back side of the fence.
So we need to write a letter to call them.
I mean, it needs a permit. Technically, it can't have more than one driveway, I suppose. It's certainly easier access to get in and out of there the way it is. Although, by coming out and going down that way, there's now less visibility on that lower section. But we're also taking up the whole road to make a right-hand turn coming out of that driveway. But
well, I think the thing to do is, I'll go look at it and I'll write a letter and say that the permit is, an application for a permit is needed, and then we can go from there. That's the bottom line to begin with.
Right.
Do we have approval for that? Is that okay? Okay, Artistry driveway permit. That should have been in your packet for last time. And I don't have it here, the actual copy here, I don't believe. So we need to discuss that. Anybody look at that? Does anybody have any thoughts on that? Whenever you go to speak at once.
I mean, it's certainly got plenty of visibility there, so that's not
the problem is that the problem is, as I see it, is that when they came for that original permit, they had two cuts in the road. One is an entrance and one is an exit. And now they're asking for a third cut. And as a general rule, we only allow people one cut. The Zoning Board of Adjustment gave them two cuts in their permit. And so therein lies the rub. We've gone after other people.
Well, it also doesn't have. Our driveway permit has nothing in it for a commercial space. It only talks about for residents and it's not a resident. So, I mean, that kind of, in my opinion, there's a gray area there with that.
We can access where we were parking from our driveway behind the building.
Your existing driveway?
Correct. Like, it's not coming out to the tower. We can go in the driveway, go behind the building, and park in the field. That's what we commonly do. We were using existing...
That farm road, right?
That farm road, yeah, but we don't have to. We can just... There's a little...
It sort of defeats the purpose, though, because the reason we're doing that is for the camp. The camps begin, there's so many kids and families running back and forth and figuring out that we wanted to have the employee cars out of the mix during that time. So if we move through our regular cut and up to the parking lot, we're actually creating more directions of traffic during that time in the morning. So the safety aspect would sort of be sabotaged.
I guess my question is we have the authority for a driveway, but all of that Artistry complex was dealt with the Zoning Board of Adjustment in a permit. And so all of that driveway and all of the traffic and everything was in their scope and their line of work, and I think you need to figure out whether that needs to come back before them or whether we can. I'm unclear personally, and I don't know whether you all asked Joe McClain or not.
I think it's, I mean, just because we issue a permit doesn't mean they don't have a permit to park in the field. That's another story.
Is it going to be a year-round one now, or just seasonal? Like
no, that's sort of my next point. Is it's only from the third week in June until the third week in August, and then we don't need to use that access at all. It's temporary for 2 months during the camps.
Would this be a yearly thing?
Oh, it would. As long as we do the camps, it would happen once a year. Yeah.
You know, whether we do it now or later, I have new clients to potentially offer a permit for a limited amount of time.
I would think. I mean, as long as it meets all the requirements, in my opinion, it doesn't matter. Get the site distance and all of that stuff. It's going to be a temporary. Just have them reapply each year and give them a temporary permit. It's going to lead into, in the future, if they want to go for an extended period of time or a year-round access, then we bring in the zoning.
I'm unclear, so I really just don't.
I think you raised a good question.
I think we need to talk to Joe about it. I'm not trying to be mean and unkind and uncooperative. I really don't know the answer, but I'm just raising. I'm raising that issue because that wasn't in the original permit, and I think we need some legal advice as to whether we should do this or not. And if Frank thinks maybe we do too, then I feel we're on a little firmer ground, or my thought pattern isn't completely disheveled.
I mean, all yeah. Either way is fine with me, but all we are offering is that they have an access. It doesn't mean that Artistry is authorized to have a parking lot. So, I mean, again, that's.
We didn't own that property in the original permit. I don't know if that makes a difference. It wasn't. That property we obtained after.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah,
anybody. Well, I'd be more complimentary than that one. I think we need to just check the CBA or check with Joe McClain and make sure that we're. You're probably totally right, John, but, you know, we've run into so many snags. Let's not run into one.
I think we better check.
Won't hurt.
Well, your season is. You're only got one more week left on June at the moment, right?
Yeah.
I think we better check with Joe.
You guys are refusing any of our stuff.
No, once we realized that the permit was necessary, we stopped using it.
Oh, okay. Well, sorry for the complications.
So does that mean it goes to the next meeting after you've discussed it with the
yeah? Yeah, I think what we're doing is just making sure that, you know, whatever we're doing, it doesn't conflict with something else, that's all.
So that might just set us up for next year, so we could apply for the permit.
Yeah. And, you know.
Again, like I said, it doesn't matter which way we go, but it's kind of the cart before the horse. I mean, you have the potential of somebody not getting, whether you think it's a person or a driveway that says, well, we're not, the zoning board saying, well, we're not going to give you a zoning permit until the select board gives you a driveway permit. Why would I give you a building permit if you can't get to your land? So, again, that's for us to check, but. It has the potential to do that. So.
I think we'll get it resolved for you as soon as we get a legal answer. I don't think we need to make you come back again next year. We'll get an answer and get it resolved.
Yes.
If it's a temporary permit just for your camping season, then that's what it'll be, and it will carry, or I would think it would carry on yearly. And you wouldn't have to reapply every year. We'll get an answer, and we'll get it resolved. It may not be resolved in time for your camping season this season, but we'll get there.
Okay.
Yes?
Yep.
Board agree with that? We don't need to put things off forever. That it just doesn't help any. But thank you for coming. And we will get it together, and we'll, if we can get an answer, we'll get it back on the next meeting's agenda. Now we have the Galaxy Hill driveway. I added this. Jim and Steve and I made a site visit. John Harrington has done a redrawing. Did you go up and look at that?
No,
Frank?
I didn't.
And he would put in on it that swale, right, to get that water from that upper logging driveway. And the one thing that I did get a note from the Planning Commission, who has a hearing, this is a subdivision, and so if we decide to give him the permit for the driveway, it would be conditional on his getting approval for the subdivision, because we only give one driveway, and if he can't subdivide it, then he's not going to need the driveway. So we thought it would work with the suggestions we made to John. And so I need a motion to.
So we're giving a permit only if they can get a subdivision?
We are giving a permit on the condition that they approve subdivision approval from the Planning Commission. If they don't get, in other words, if they don't get approval to make the subdivision, they will not have an access. Because they won't meet.
So should they get the permit for the subdivision first before we even worry about it?
The Planning Commission won't give them the permit if they don't have an access way.
Oh, see, this just goes back to our last discussion.
No, we're just going to give a permit. We will give the permit. They have the permit to get their driveway in if indeed they get a positive response from the Planning Commission. In other words, we're going to make it conditional on them getting the approval to subdivide. Because if they don't subdivide, they don't need another access way.
We're dealing with the Planning Commission, not the ZBA, right?
This is the Planning Commission that is dealing with the subdivision.
Yeah,
so I need
that's what we should have done the last time.
I need a motion to approve it with those conditions.
So moved.
I need a second.
Sorry.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye. Could you read me the motion just for my information?
The motion is to approve the Nassau driveway permit with the latest map that John Harrington did, indicating the various changes that we suggested, and it will only, the driveway permit will only be given if indeed they have subdivision approval from the Planning Commission. Does that cover your basis? If you would like to suggest language that's different, I'd be more than happy to hear.
Well, the only, it just came to mind here that there's a high possibility that they will get a subdivision permit and they have not asked for a building permit yet, and they may not. So I guess my question is, if they do not ask for a building permit, then there's no need to necessarily have an access there. So. I thought I had my base covered with that condition that if we don't approve the subdivision, then the access is null and void. But now I'm looking one step further ahead. If they don't ask for a building permit, what do they need the access for?
If you give them a subdivision permit and they subdivide that lot out, then they deserve to be able to
right.
get onto that lot,
right.
whether they build a house,
right.
or they bush hog it, or they fence it for horses.
I'm happy with the motion.
I mean, don't they? If they make that subdivision, regardless of whether they ever put a house on it, they deserve an access for that lawn.
Right.
Don't they?
Okay, I'm okay with it, the way you've written it. Thank you.
I'm sorry, now I got confused. Did we approve it or not?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Did you all get the wage and zero letter that are deficiencies?
Yep.
And do you want to discuss that as to how we wish to deal with some of those deficiencies? Or do you want to save that for another meeting?
I would suggest that we either, you know, like for the town garage, I don't see why a lot of these things you can handle, right? Mm-hmm. So, at least for that, we can put that in the hands of Jim to kind of get those remedied. Mm-hmm. I think for the town hall, we might need to spend a little time figuring out what the solution is for some of them, because it's not obvious right off the bat what we would need to do, except for the easy ones, like the furnace maintenance. So I think maybe hit the low-hanging fruit, which I think is a lot of it around the town garage, and try and get that done right away. And then maybe either appoint one or two people to kind of come up with a game plan for the town hall and this building and figure out what to do. And I think Ann Bauer can handle the library. So that would be my suggestion.
Norm? Along with those deficiencies, I'd like to add that the bathroom, I've been told, needs hand grips for handicap access in, for the toilets.
In the town hall or here?
In the town hall.
Okay.
So, you know, that should be on that list also.
Okay.
You're
taking the bus old folks and
can't get up
and
down the line. I must have missed the list.
It does have a
fuel shut off. It does have a fuel shut off. Even like the furnace, I mean, maybe I jumped the gun, but I called right after that and I called it.
You got a service?
And while they're coming, I'm scheduled to be serviced.
Good.
Like the first week of October, I get it done. Of course, the TFIs are done. Then.
And the one thing that I didn't understand from his letter, as I recall, he had that portable eyewash. There was the portable eyewash there. And yet he said we didn't have an eyewash.
Because it's not functional.
It's not functional?
No.
Is that the deal?
It needs to be tossed. We need an actual eyewash station.
This one here is one that it doesn't have to be hooked up. It has a solution that's in it. Supposed to change the system. The one that's down here is supposed to change the solution in every year, whatever. I can't remember what it is.
But thank you. It's just easier to hook up.
Well, he thought it would be easier to hook on into the bathroom area.
Any unlimited
amount. Yeah, he mentioned the bathroom and then, maybe I mentioned the bathroom and then he's like, well, the problem is you've got to be in kind of a central area with it.
Yeah, it should be in the bathroom. You've got somebody in there. Easy access, it's available all the time.
Yeah, and that's what he was kind of saying, was it's going to be kind of out into the shop area instead of the building.
It seems to me that we could even get that fixed with a little bit of work. Okay, does anyone want to volunteer to come up with some answers for Wade's concerns?
When did you send that email?
Ellen sent that to you.
No.
It must have been 2 weeks ago.
Probably something like that.
A lot of those things have to. I'm not sure we have to get them all done by the middle of October, but we certainly have to. We ought to have a plan if we don't get them done. You willing to volunteer on that, John?
Sure.
Frank, would you be willing to volunteer? No.
No.
Steve? Scott?
I'll help him.
Okay. Scott and Steve.
John.
John, excuse me. Sorry, Steve. Next on, we're done with Wade now. Next, appointments of the Zoning Board of Adjustment and the Planning Commission. We should have done this the 1st of July. And on the Planning Commission, John Moore and Raynald have both, their terms have expired, and they both are willing to continue. And on the Zoning Board of Adjustments, Sean Pickett's term has expired, and Ben Brickner was only a temporary appointment until the 1st of July, and they are both willing to serve again. So I would look for a motion to reappoint those.
Okay.
Do you have a second?
Actually, can we hang on just a second, because I want to dig back into memory bank. I think we might have some other appointments. Because there are some folks who some folks who I think we don't have a record of when they got appointed.
I looked over the list and I thought the others had been done in April.
So Nelson Lanson, his term expired in June of last year. And Orson St. John also expired in June of last year. And that John, do you? I don't have any record of them getting reappointed since then.
I don't know, they'd be in your minutes, not our minutes. I thought you did do them, but maybe you didn't.
I thought we did that.
I sure. Yeah, I I updated this in January of this year.
In the town report, it listed that their terms were 2021. That was in the town report that we published.
That we just did? Okay.
And that was the list that I was going off of.
Okay. We might have done it. I just want to double check. I looked all this stuff up, and our appointment sheet is current as of January this year.
What are the appointment terms?
3 years.
3 years.
Yeah. So if they were till 2021, which was just last summer.
So appointment until that period, it's not going to be the same day that I would have been.
I also, the other thing that I couldn't find in the records is I don't have any dates for them. Loie, Michael Reese, and Alan Blacker, they were appointed, and when their terms expired, I couldn't find anyone. So their terms are actually empty right now.
Well, they also were listed in the town report as being current.
Yeah, again, I couldn't find any minutes anywhere that showed their last appointment date.
So I'm not sure where it's coming from in the town report, but all I can say is that I couldn't find any record of it. And I actually asked, well, at least I asked Michael, he could remember last time he was appointed. So I'm just saying that I couldn't find any history of those appointments. So it's up to the board what it wants to do. I'm just telling you what I know.
We have a motion on the floor to appoint these people, and I think that we can spend some time and clarify the others.
Sure.
If we need to appoint more, if we should.
Yeah.
That being said, so all those in favor of appointing those people to the various respective boards, aye?
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay. Next on the list is a proposal from Horizon Engineering on the Howell RFP. And I went over to see, actually Jimmy came with me to see the Sharon Select Board asked, reached out and said, when could, how will we come? And I said I'd go over. And they are expecting to have their bond by the end of October, their vote. And so by the end of November, they will know whether anyone has challenged the vote, if it's in the affirmative. When I emailed Caleb a while ago, he would like to see the RFP for how they'll be individual RFPs, but in conjunction with one another, in that the time frame for getting it done and the time frame so that both Sharon and Fonford would be done together, so that we could reap those benefits for material and such and movement of machines. Anyway, so when we spoke with John at the Nassau's driveway, I asked him if he would put a proposal together help us get the technical stuff that we needed to do that RFP, because that's going to be a little more complicated than just paving over, because it's going to be a rebuild. And he, I emailed you that proposal, I believe, earlier this afternoon, and I don't know whether you want to do anything about that. I thought the price was pretty good, and I think we need some help, and we're going to have to get that RFP together, and he would help us, as you saw in that proposal, he would help us with that. And if you don't want to make a decision tonight, that's fine. You can look it over, and we can do it at the next meeting. But I think in this particular instance, we need some help. By the way, Ellen found no payment for the boring guy.
Okay.
She looked today. And did you get an invoice from him on your email?
No, not yet. But I left him my address here.
Okay, so you think he'll send an invoice?
Yeah, and okay. He hasn't even got the forms all done yet, so that's why no one's seen anything from him.
Okay.
He's still trying to get it put together and set up.
So, we don't have those borings yet. And do you want to read John's proposal and think about that, or do you want to do something about that tonight?
Are they doing the proposal for Sharon? Who's doing their RFPs?
They had already contracted with John, I guess, a year ago to do an overview of many of their problem roads. And well, you were there at that meeting back in the spring, Scott, was May maybe, and so they've had him doing work for them for quite some time. We don't need as an extensive a job as that. We just need to get the specs together for this Howell project.
Yeah, no, I was asking if we are going to hire somebody, it makes sense to hire the same people they hired.
Well, that's kind of, I figured it was worth a shot to see what he had to offer.
So yes, he is working. In fact, today I spoke to their road foreman and John, and then the assistant were out surveying the road today and making marks and doing the engineering, but I guess it'd be the planning phase. So he is doing their stuff. In fact, he started. So I think it's a good idea to have him. I think that we'll have to be conscious that we waive our purchasing policy because it's you know, over 1,000 or 2,500 or whatever.
That is correct.
So we just and I don't mind doing that because of the I think it would behoove us to have the same engineering company do them both. That way we're all on the same page and we don't have some other company.
Well, that was my thought, but that being said, I asked him for the proposal. I did not give him any guarantees that we would sign on the dotted line, but I thought that at least if we had some idea, we're not going to be able to do those engineering specs ourselves. And I don't think the state retrans is...
And it'll also be good when the paver comes, he's going to give, he'll be there for Sharon as they come across the line. I mean, the whole thing makes sense. Just I think we need to consciously recognize we're away the purchasing policy for this and the reasons why I think we're justified.
Do you want to think about that until the next meeting or do you want to do something about it now? And if we're going to do it about now, we need a motion.
I make a motion to waive the purchasing policy for Fire Prize Engineering to do the engineering work on the Havel project in conjunction with the Havel project in Sharon.
You will notice on that proposal there's some basic work, and then there's some additions. And
so
I was
the right here. There's three tasks. Right. So.
And I would suggest that we go for the basic work and then talk about the additions.
Sure.
Or see if we need those additions. Or if Frank, you have more experience than I, maybe you should go for the whole ball of wax.
Yeah, I mean, he's offering a, you know, sort of one-stop shopping. I mean, obviously we're not going to have to do the planning and then hire somebody else to do the construction oversight. I think it just makes sense that we have a nice package. We've got a thing moving ahead with Sharon, and what we spend on him, we're going to save. The estimate was what, $60,000 if we do the Sharon thing if we do Howe Hill with Sharon. So we're certainly going to, you know.
That was the top end, so it might not be quite that much.
Even if it's $50,000 or
anything is good.
Anything's good. So that being said, this would make a very seamless project. So I guess I don't know if I can make a friendly amendment, just that he does all three tasks, not just the basic.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that total estimated fee would be anywhere from $6,500 to $8,000. So we have a second, and did you second,
second.
Frank?
Yep.
All those in favor of that motion?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, I will tell Jonathan that I will email him tomorrow. And
my son was telling me today he was one of the ones that were over there. They got 9,000. It could be laid up to 9,000 feet of underlay drain on Howe Hill.
Just as a thought for us for budgeting, Jimmy mentioned the other day that when we were over there that all that band rail will have to come off and be put back, and that we can either put that in the bid and that can be part of the job, or we can do that after the fact, but it's going to have to happen in order to do the job correctly.
I'd put it in the bid and it's just done, taken care of.
Well, that's what Jim thought, but just so that we know that for future reference.
They coordinated, it'll get done as soon as the project's done. Then.
Okay, we've got past that. I guess not. You want us to be done with you? I don't think there's anything else.
Thank you. Good evening.
Okay. Selected of HR contract support.
So I think I'll start off with a motion just so we can focus our conversation. So I'll move that the town contract with with Jenny Champion at a rate of $100 per hour for 10 to 20 hours up front, and then 1 to 2 hours on average per week thereafter. Or actually, we won't even that much. Up to 1 to 2 hours per week thereafter. We do not need it at all. But just to start the conversation.
Which one was that we interviewed? Was that?
She's the one from Waterbury. So let me give you a flavor for the rates and the reason why. Well, actually, so that's the motion, and then we can kind of get into it.
All right, well, I'll second it.
So we had Jenny at $100 an hour. Erica was at $150 an hour, plus $75 travel rate. So we actually would have to pay her for travel. And then Teresa was the least expensive at $65 an hour. I think all three of them are well qualified. I think we heard a lot of good stuff from all three of them, and all three of them demonstrated that they know what they're talking about. And I guess the motion I made is I'll just say that I like Jenny the most out of all three of them. I like what she had to say, and I like the way she put it. But I think it's a service we could really benefit from, and we could structure the initial assessment with whoever we hire, and then basically make it an as-needed basis thereafter.
Just for clarification, which time did she speak?
She was the second one.
Okay.
Erica was first, Jenny was second, and Teresa was third.
Yep.
I would have gone for Teresa.
Okay.
And that's just because, and that was not looking at her hourly rate. I just thought because she was closer that it might be a better bet. It might cost us a little less in the long run.
I don't think we'd go wrong with any one of them. I think that all three of them are pretty qualified.
But I don't know quite where this money is going to come from that's going to pay for her.
We tend to do what we need to do. We've made a number of hires lately that we haven't quite figured out how we're going to do it, so I don't think this is out of character for us.
Where do you think it was going to come out of?
It comes out of professional services.
Right. Jenny's out of where?
Out of Waterbury.
Okay. Was she the one that had, I didn't bring my notes with me. She's the one that seemed to have more municipal experience.
That's right. Teresa does too.
She was the one that worked for the lumber company, right? And then
right, but both Teresa and Jenny had municipal experience. Erica did not. So, do you want to propose a different motion then?
I thought we were having a discussion. I wasn't necessarily. I thought Teresa spoke well and she was closer, and I thought it might be a better bet for us. But
where's she out of?
Clarendon, near Rutland.
Okay.
So she's a little bit closer.
Norm?
Jane.
I was just wondering if there's any estimate of how many hours would be involved in this.
It'd be about 20 hours up front, and then basically.
20 hours a month, a week?
No. 20, just one block of about 10 to 20 hours.
Yeah.
And then after that, it would be on an as-needed basis.
What are the anticipations for asking?
A few hours here and there.
So what kind of bothers me, you know, it's just, what is
Well, we also have $240 an hour accountants that we have the same.
I wasn't discussing it that way.
I know.
I don't need a lecture on how much you're paying some person that I don't even know.
But I
would like to know, sure, is about what is your estimate of going forward, how much would be using this person?
It would be a couple hours here and there. You know, it would be, might be an hour or two, like 5 hours a month, maybe.
Okay.
It would really depend on what, you know, our like employee valuations and employee technology. And I think the first block, you know, that may not be the case if we stay with the same person. That first block, you got to get somebody in here. She's going to look at our personnel policy. I mean, it isn't just, you know, a few little things. She's going to look at personnel policy and employee.
I think if we hire somebody to do this for us, I think the biggest thing that we need them for is just to get us on track, make sure that we do things. But we have clear policies that are both clear to us and the employees, and that the enforcement of those is done in a clear manner.
Right.
That's certainly where we've been lacking in the past, which has created problems for both us and employees.
Right.
There's no reason, as long as, for the most part, as long as the board commits themselves to following set of policies, that we shouldn't need a HR person to come in and do employee reviews, because they're, nor should we need, if I know the question was asked to these people about, you know, can they keep us on track to make sure things are getting done? Yes, we need to make sure that things are getting done on a timely manner, but in all honesty, if we need a, we need to pay an HR person to be our scheduler to keep us on track, then we have bigger problems. Because there's no reason we should be paying an HR person to go, hey, to do this personal review, we got our pay, that's coming up. If we're not capable of doing that ourselves, then we shouldn't be here.
But we've already proved that we're not capable.
I don't think that's necessary.
It's absolutely
true.
No, that...
We have been late on every personnel review and so far.
That's not that. I beg to differ. There were some extenuating circumstances
sure.
that caused us to be late this year. And I'll be honest, John, I have to agree with you. If we need a babysitter to tell us when to do something, we're not doing our job. And we should spend more time doing our job and less time doing something else. Ona?
Isn't there somebody at the VLTC that can do what they're asking for free?
No,
I mean,
that's not, they don't.
Excuse me, I was asking the chairman of the board.
I don't think they will. They will give us some guidance as to how to manage HR problems, but they will not come down and do that kind of, they will not come down and do that. They will recommend people that can do that for us, but that is above and beyond their call of duty. They are very helpful when you call and ask for the problem, that they will give you someone that knows what's going on in that particular instance, but they won't give us that kind of assistance. John?
If you're going to hire somebody, and one's at 100 and a quarter an hour, and one's at 100, and one's at 65, and you seem to agree that all three are qualified, doesn't the cost of the person come into play at all?
Sure, absolutely. So I'll withdraw my original motion. I'll move that we hire Teresa Mealy at $65 an hour for an initial 10-hour block, and then no more than 5 hours a month thereafter on an as-needed basis.
Second.
Any more discussion?
I just
want to
comment that over the years that I've been here, I've looked at a select board that is constantly overwhelmed with the volume of work and the detail orientation of it. state regulations are always getting more burdensome. And I guess I wonder at what point the town recognizes that maybe it's an assistant town manager or a town administrator that becomes more valuable. And if you were to consider somebody in that role, would you expect them to have this kind of HR background that they could provide? So I'm just throwing that out as devil's advocate, that maybe there's another job that would benefit the town in other ways than just HR-wise that maybe is worth considering.
If we were to hire that, in my opinion, that would be, yes, a prerequisite that they would have to do that.
I think that point is well taken, and I think I have said that on numerous occasions before I was on the board and now that I am on the board.
We do need, cost aside of paying for a town manager or something to that degree, we need somebody.
It would be great if it could be somebody that was shared between towns. Because I don't think any of the small local towns can really afford what you have to pay for that kind of expertise. But if you could have a full-time position available for somebody that's shared between three towns, you get a good quality candidate because you've got a full-time job for them. I was at a meeting the other day, and the fellow sitting next to me was one of the selectmen from Thetford, and he said they had just hired a full-time town manager up there. I think he said about $80,000 a year. But they had been discussing it for a couple of years, and when they proposed it and put it in the budget, it just passed with really no complaints, and they were delighted to get it.
Suggested
the time. Maybe something we take
up.
I think this first step would actually be a good way to get ourselves together as a step in that right direction for maybe that future step around the town for a town administrator.
And I have hired him to come in and at least do an initial consultation with us on our current policies and where we should go, as long as the as needed thing is a board approval. We need to do it now.
Are you ready for the motion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Moving on. Update on BLTC funding and next steps on mediation. There is funding at BLCT for training. There was funding available. It has all been used up for this year, I understand, for respect in the workplace training, where an individual comes down. If they're going to do something like that, they come in and do everyone in town. They do the employees, the road employees, the town clerk, treasurer, all of these. They would want to do all of them. I spoke at length with both Jill Muir and Karen Stackpole, who does this the respect in the workplace training, and I didn't really get any great ideas out of how to handle the issues that we have. There are no funds available for mediation, none whatsoever. And I did get two recommendations from Joe Muir. Andy Mann, who used to be in mediation, also sent an email about a week back and suggested someone. And I have not contacted any of them, but there is not going to be any money available. So that, and to be honest, I'm not sure, after talking with Karen Stackpole, the lawyer that deals with respect in the workplace, she didn't seem to think that either the training or the mediation would be helpful. She thought the best thing we could do would be to start and maybe develop and adopt rules of conduct. and that was her suggestion.
So, did VLCT offer a rules of conduct motto policy?
I was not talking with VLCT at that point. I was talking with Karen Stackpole, who is an attorney out of Burlington that does these respect in the workplace workshops.
Okay. So, that
wouldn't
be a bad idea.
Yeah, that would be a good way to do it. Draft a policy, maybe that's the right step.
Is that something our HR person
can help us? She might. I don't see why not. Yeah, actually, that's a good point.
It's an HR issue. Yeah.
We need something. But I'm not sure that it's a, I mean, unfortunately, it's an individual issue.
Well, I can research some more with Jill and send her another email and see what she has available for samples, or I can look on the website, either one. And I can, I've spoken with her a couple of times, and I can do that again. But there is no money available for mediation, period. And the money available for workplace training, right now, they have given out all their grants for this year. So that is not an option for us at this particular moment. And so that's where I personally thought, and this Karen Stackpole thought, that rules of conduct would be a good start. And it would be something that the board could work on together. And maybe that would alleviate some of the issues. Maybe. That was her thought, and we spoke at length. She was very generous with her time. So perhaps we should think about that and put something on the agenda for the next meeting.
Yeah, see what
the
LCT has.
I'll speak with Jill again or email her and see what she has on her templates.
Who's going to contact Teresa about the hire?
I've already been in touch with her, so I'll just
ask her about if she's dealt with this code of conduct stuff too. She might be able to help us.
Next on the list is Slack software.
Yeah, that's going to get combined, but I guess with the IT stuff, I hope to have time to have some kind of a something up there. I'm just too busy to do that. I really don't have anything more on it for tonight, unless Scott has something he wants to discuss with the Slack, so we could probably just move on to the IT.
I think it's better to show it, right?
Yeah.
So the only thing on IT is I think there's been a lot of activity going on. So I think somewhere in the midst of our conversations, I think Summer was mentioned that Bob might produce a report for us on the things that need to get done. It'd be good to see something in writing, and even have a presentation at our next board as to where we're at on IT stuff and what needs to get done and what the game plan is. We've kind of talked around it for a while, but I don't have a good sense of what our major issues are, what the next steps are, what needs to get done, and so forth. So I think it'd be good to either ask, if Bob is kind of running point on that, to ask him to maybe submit a report to us or get something that gives us a sense of exactly what the issues are and what we need to do for going forward. So I would suggest that we, again, if Bob is still running point on that we reach out to Bob and ask him to either come and speak with us at the next meeting or submit a report to us. That would be good if we had an update.
Okay.
because that was one of my questions, was where are we at, what do we need, you know, maybe there's a punch list like way major things right. that
exactly.
we can go through, whether it's hardware or software or whatever.
Right.
We hired him, but I haven't really heard much.
Right. Yet.
Well, I think he's still working on some issues, isn't he, Bob Merrill? Becky's handling that for the most part.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with
it. So,
why don't I ask Becky and see where he's at, and ask him to give us some report as to where we're going. And also, I don't know whether the problems have been solved, but Jimmy's been having problems with that computer down at the garage, and we need to address that issue. I think that computer is 6 or 7 years old, from what Becky said, I recall. And so I will ask Bob about that as well, because all of their timesheets and everything are all on the computer, and he's having a pretty hard time. It just isn't working well. Right
maybe responsible for
it. I thought Bob went down there and took a look at it, wasn't able to do anything about it.
Whoever is responsible for getting the computer put on town, put something together and give us an estimate of what's going to cost, so we make sure it's not.
I'll talk to Becky on Friday. She knows what she spent on these others when yours crashed.
She works with Tad usually to come up with a decision for what the computer should be, and he works with the people at Systems Plus.
Okay. We'll see if we can.
The other suggestion down there, well, I've asked some other towns around on that. And quite often the road foreman has his own computer, and then the guys themselves have their own computer to fill out their timesheets and so forth. And it speeds up the process, and there's a lot of stuff on the foreman's computer that
they don't need to see
and be a part of.
You could petition the information on the computer. If they only spend 15 or 20 minutes on a computer a day or whatever. But we can stick to the top bottom. I'd like to make sure that all the time stuff and all their activities are off that computer and on our server, because some apps down there. And that's a nice tool to go back and look at historical activities.
Certainly have options of making it so that certainly do it. So
at this point, I think everything's on that computer, so if it crashes,
yeah,
it's all there.
Yeah, that backup was there, so
that's a problem, because it's something we really, you know, Scott and I use a lot to look back on some historical data when we were working on other projects. And too bad to lose that one.